in order to be able to deal with those challenges, in order to be able to deal with the setbacks and the obstacles of life, we need to believe. We need to believe that we've got the skills and the resources to be able to achieve what we set out to achieve. So I'm talking here about the importance of having empowering, helpful, healthy, beneficial beliefs. Beliefs that serve us well, beliefs that help us create the life we want, beliefs that help us to get what we say we want in life.
Welcome to the 3 Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you 3 simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me. So folks, welcome again. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. My name is James with 3 Steps to Thrive, and I'm here with another James, James Woodworth. James, can you say hello?
Hello.
Perfect. So again, team, we bring on successful entrepreneurs and successful business people to speak with you. And every time we ask them a little bit about their backstory, as well as we ask them to provide 3 steps for you to improve either your business or yourself. So I'm super thrilled to have James here. So James has worked in the personal development area for over 30 years, which is incredible. You know, when you, and let me give you a snapshot here. When we hear about people working in personal development, it's typically up to 5 years. If you get to 10 years in personal development, that's a big deal. So 30 years is huge. James is a professional speaker, an international best-selling author, teacher, training, mentor, coach, and licensed Thrive program consultant, which is why we have him on the show, right? Thrive and Thrive. So my podcast is Thrive, his program is Thrive, and he's a James as well. So we can call it the James and James show. What I like about James is he is a self-confessed recovering shy guy with a lifelong commitment to serving and helping others to learn, grow, and develop. James had overcome social fears that once held him back. And I think we've all experienced that at one point in time. And if you haven't, you haven't really learned, or be embarrassed, one or the other. James now works in private practice, and he works with passion, enthusiasm, and commitment to inspiring others. So, James, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, James. Thanks for having me along.
Great. I love this. The one line in your bio that I love more than anything else is this: a recovering shy guy. And I'm not joking. I think all of us have been a recovering shy guy. We always, you know, and I remember being in school and being super shy, and I would always look up to the people who were really outgoing or really confident, right? And that's something that I think both of us share that way. What was your motivation to not be shy anymore?
My motivation, James, was a deep-rooted commitment that I discovered quite early on in my life to be a teacher. I loved being at school insofar as I loved learning. But I struggled at school because I was really, really shy and socially anxious. And so performing in a classroom, speaking in front of others, doing sums in front of others, reading out loud, anything like that was an absolute nightmare for me personally. But I loved learning and I wanted to be a teacher. And I think I wanted to be the kind of teacher I wish I'd have had when I was a kid growing up, because most of my teachers were quite bold, robust, extroverts. And I really wanted, you know, to be the kind of teacher that would have a more gentle approach, I guess, and somebody that would be able to reach out to those hard to reach kids that were shy and lacking in confidence. And I think that's why I committed to overcoming shyness, because I wanted to be a teacher and I wanted to serve and help others.
Right. No, that's perfect. Let me ask you this question, because you've been doing it for over 30 years now. You've been improving people's lives and improving their mindsets, improving their outlooks and things like this. How important is being shy in the school system? How much relevance does that have when you deal with the people that you deal with?
For me personally, I think it's about recognizing a full range of personality types and characteristics. And so you're going to have extroverts, you're going to have introverts, you're going to have people who do really well in group settings, but other people who are quieter and more reflective. So I think from the point of view of coaching, mentoring, teaching and training, I think it's really a question of reaching out and appreciating the full range of personality types that you have in your care, so that everybody has an equal opportunity to grow, shine and develop.
Yes. Is it, does everybody know what they need to do inherently? Are you more of a guide? Are you a guide or are you a teacher, right? Because a guide shows you the path. A teacher explains to you what you need to think about. So what do you see, or do you see as a little bit of both?
I would say it's a bit of both. So even though I call myself a coach, there's a lot of mentoring in what I do. So I'm a teacher, tutor, facilitator. I think it's important to have a broad range of approaches that you can use and adapt for the situation, because sometimes guiding is the right approach and sometimes it's more of that mentoring and teaching that people need.
Right. Why do people visit you, James? What is the impetus? Is it something they bring on themselves, or is it usually an event in life? Like, give us a little bit of context about when they go in and are they desperate for results? Like where do they sit when they first enter your program?
They're certainly looking for results. Most of my clients, interestingly enough, have tried a number of different approaches to get the outcome that they're looking for. They will have tried therapy, counseling.
Can I ask you to hold for a second? What is that outcome?
The outcome is to be free of the symptoms that they've got. They're usually looking to break free of the limiting beliefs that they've got, the unhelpful thinking styles. These are people in emotional pain. These are suffering. These are people who know that they're self-sabotaging, tripping themselves up and not living life to the full. They're not living a full, satisfying and fulfilling life. That's what
they were saying earlier, that they had tried other treatments or other avenues to heal this. So they recognize that it's been a problem for a while. Why is yours different, do you think? What's the difference there?
Because the program that I have to offer is not therapy, it's not counseling, but most of the people that come to me have got some psychological or emotional issue that they're looking to overcome. May not be a diagnosed mental health problem as such, but it could be. But it will be something which is psychological or emotional. And they'll have gone down the traditional route initially, thinking of therapy or coaching, therapy or counseling, for example. They won't necessarily know about my program initially, but having drawn a blank using more traditional approaches, they will reconsider what else is available to them. And then they will consider my program, because the program that myself and my colleagues offer is an alternative to therapy.
And right.
It's an alternative.
Would you call therapy and coaching really, I don't know how to say this, but very present focus, so very action oriented on what to do? And then, because I know a number of, and I haven't taken your program, so it's interesting asking these questions, because I don't know anything, but I think it's a better interview because of it sometimes. Mm-hmm. So is your program looking at upbringing, past experiences, how those affect your sort of psyche, how those affect your ego? Is that right?
I tend not to focus on the client's past or their previous experiences. I recognize that their early childhood and infantile experiences may very well have an influence. We're all the products of social learning up to a point, but I tend to focus on the client's current experiences and teaching them how to think constructively now, how to create empowering beliefs now, and to get out of the past and into the present and the future. So I don't focus on past experiences at all, really.
Right. Why is that important for the business owner? Why is your program important for, you know, when we, you know, and you listeners know this, and you know this too, James, when you start a business, you start with such fire and passion, and then you hit a few roadblocks and you kind of shrink back like a violet, right? So why is it important that business owners have the right mindset? Is that something that you can help them with?
Yes, I'm all about teaching people how to develop a success mindset, regardless as to what that might be. So to be successful in business, I would say that you have to have a good business strategy. You need to know about marketing. You need to know about lead generation. You've got to have a strong business acumen. There's no question about that. But I would argue that without a success-orientated mindset, you're not going to succeed you're not going to achieve your potential as a business owner. You've got to get your mind working for you, not against you. You've got to have empowering beliefs. You've got to back yourself and believe. You've got to be relentless. You've got to absolutely know at the core of your very being that you have got what it takes to succeed and that you're never going to give up. Mindset is absolutely critical. I would say that strategy plus mindset equals success.
Excellent. Okay. Tell me about, so mindset, you've coached, how many people would you say you've coached?
I've coached hundreds and hundreds of people. So I've been a Thrive Program consultant for about 7 years and I've taken over 500 people through the program. But when it comes to teaching, mentoring and coaching, I've literally helped thousands of people over the years.
That's amazing though, right? That's amazing. Yeah. It's something to really hang your hat on. When you notice people improve, is it linear? Are there fallbacks? How does it look? Like, if is it different for everybody? How, you know, could we assume we kind of go to this one session, we're like, okay, I got this. I got this stuff. I'm all good to go. I know enough now. But it's not like that, is it? Like, it's something that you need to reinforce over and over again. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
It's linear insofar as it is a process. However, it's messy. People mess up. People relapse. People have blips. People will experience self-doubt along that journey. That's normal. That's natural. An essential part of the program that I deliver is teaching the clients optimal self-coaching. It's really, really important that as they get to the end of the program, that they have the skills and the resources to coach themselves towards continuous and development. And that includes recognizing and dealing with blips and relapses, because it will happen.
Right. Okay. No, that's pretty neat to say. Like, is it when someone comes to you, let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask it in a roundabout kind of way. So if you want to grab water, now is the time, but do people find you after therapy when they hit rock bottom? And let me explain this to you in a couple ways. So rock bottom is really relative, right? If I said, I'm going to send someone to you and they just experienced homelessness and got diagnosed with cancer, and then you're like, okay, that's rock bottom. Or, you know, if it's those two, and then they also lost their parents that same year, right? So rock bottom is different for everybody. And I think, and I think what I'm asking is that you hear all of these stories about people hitting quote unquote rock bottom. What is that? Is that different for everybody before they find these things that need to fire? And if someone hasn't hit rock bottom as much as someone else, they still have relevance to the program. Is that right?
Yes, I would say that a lot of my clients have reached, rock bottom, insofar as they've recognized that they have been suffering a lot and they've made a decision that the suffering is now going to end. Yes, it is different for different people, but I'm not a life coach, so I'm not just helping people to overcome. I'm not helping people to make a decision or giving them advice on a particular problem that they might be struggling to deal with. A lot of my clients have hit rock bottom in that they've realized that the problem that they've got is having a profound and significant impact on their life, and they're not prepared to put up with that anymore.
Is it like an onion? Once you unwrap one problem, there's another layer, and there's another layer under that until you get to the core?
Sometimes that is the case. So my program is about teaching people to thrive. It's not about overcoming a specific symptom. The client might have a symptom, a specified issue that they want to focus on when they come to see me, but the program is about teaching people to thrive. It's not about overcoming a symptom. So you're absolutely right. Once they start the process of doing the program, the initial issue will be discussed, and then other things might come up as well that they want to deal with. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to be satisfied if a client overcomes the presenting issue, but they still have some other niggling little problem that's getting in the way. Mm-hmm. I want them to be thriving. That means them learning the skills and the resources to deal with any problem that comes their way, to eradicate any limiting belief or any obstacle that's stopping them from thriving.
Right. Tell me about, because you've been here for 30 years, you've been doing self-development for 30 years. And like I said, that in this realm is in eternity, right? 30 years ago, there wasn't the internet, right? Or maybe there was, but it was just in the infancy. you still had that dial-up tone. Every time you need to go online to check email, you still had dial-up tone. Hotmail was still around. So my question is, what changes have you seen? So it's a two-part question. And in my mind, this is where my question is. So right now there's a lot of, and I think it's always been a big deal, programs like Landmark are around, right? And they kind of go back to the root cause of where it is, and then you kind of heal back there. And the idea, I guess, is that if you heal back, you kind of go back in time to when you were childhood, and you find this trauma, and then you heal it, and then you're off to the races, so to speak. So do your programs work on different people? How do you know who is a good fit for each of the programs? And I'm sure you're too modest to say this, but is your program superior? Maybe it is. Tell me a little bit about that.
The program, in my opinion, is absolutely exceptional in its ability to reach a broad range of clients. I feel very confident that anybody would benefit from doing the program, regardless of their background, the presenting issue, what experiences they've had to deal with up until now. I firmly believe that everybody can learn to flourish and thrive. You just need to know how to do that. One of the benefits of being in the self-development industry for so long is that I've worked with so many people, which means I've had insight into the psychology, the beliefs and the thinking styles of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people from all sorts of all ages and all walks of life. And the one thing that strikes me as being particularly significant is the consistency, the predictability and reliability in people's mindsets. Mm. You know, the issues, for example, you know, we know the characteristics and the mindset of somebody who's thriving. We know what that person's like. We know what their mindset's like. We know how they carry themselves through the world. We know what their attitudes are, their beliefs, and so on. But also, we know exactly what the mindset is like of somebody who's not thriving. We know what their beliefs were like. We know what their thinking styles are like. We know what their attitudes are. So that's really, really important. That for people who want to learn to thrive, There is no magic bullet. There is no magic sauce. There's no special ingredient. We know exactly what constitutes the mindset of somebody who is successful. That's all that people need to know. They just need to know how to do that. I think that's really, really important, actually, that people don't think that there's some other special remedy that's waiting to be discovered, or that somebody's got the magic weapon. No, there isn't. There is nothing magic about it. We know exactly what constitutes success with regards to mindset. We've known for years.
And I guess the interesting thing is a lot of people, when they hit that brick wall or when they slow down, they tend to reach outward instead of reaching inward. Does that make sense? They look for consulting help because they think it's this, or they go and they change everything up because they think it's something else, as opposed to if you really look inside, maybe you'll find the answers there, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me, why do you love what you do?
I love serving people. I love being of service. Nothing thrills me more than seeing somebody who's suffering, somebody that's in pain emotionally, overcome that suffering and learn to thrive. It's the most rewarding work possible. As you know, I've been a teacher, I've been a facilitator, I've been a mentor for many, many years, and it's just an absolute privilege, actually. It's a privilege to be allowed into the lives of people, for them to trust me and to allow me to be the person that guides them on their learning journey. It's an absolute privilege, and it's a thrill seeing people flourish and thrive.
That's amazing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but once they learn how to thrive, you're not just talking about work. You're not just talking about family. You're talking about everything, and kind of it interrelates, it interconnects, doesn't it? So their entire life is lifted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying about thriving isn't about overcoming a symptom. It's about thriving in all areas of your life, personally and professionally.
Okay, amazing. Is thriving the opposite of guilt? Is that an interesting analogy?
That's a very interesting analogy. I would say that somebody who's thriving is living a life free of shame and guilt, because they will have come to terms with negative emotions like that. They would have come to terms with those kind of destructive, disempowering emotions. They will be honest. They may have experiences which might have led them to feeling bad about themselves in the past. But when you're thriving, you're self-accepting, you're honest with yourself, you take responsibility, you take ownership of what you've done, what you've thought, and you realize that shame and guilt are destructive emotions that aren't going to help at all. It's much, if you've done something that you feel shamed about or guilty about, much better to put your hand up and commit to the process of reparation, try and repair the damage that's done, try and make a valuable contribution. Carrying around shame and guilt won't help.
Yeah, no doubt. And I assume a lot of us do things out of obligation, which is kind of, instead of, you know, where there's, you know, and I had a business coach a long time ago, and I'm not, you know, and I'm sure that your program changes lives and his program changes businesses, right? But he used to say, instead of, I have to do this, like I have to, and there's, you know, I've been looking forward to this change, but I don't, you know, I have to do this webinar versus I get to, right? It's an opportunity as well. So yes. I guess that's sort of a small microcosm of what you're talking about.
Yes, I think it's unhelpful to tell yourself that you have to do something, that you should do something, that you ought to. You want to, and it's enjoyable. There's nothing that I have to do. There's nothing I should do. And there's nothing I ought to do. Everything I do is because I want to do it.
That's an incredible mindset, right? Now, you've coached, we're going to get to your 3 points in just a second. And listener, just a reminder, you already know this, but every time we bring on an excellent guest, we always ask them to provide 3 points for to improve that are practical, actionable, and simple to improve either you as a business owner or the business itself. But my question to you before we get to that, final question on this one. You've coached thousands of people. What is your favorite story from 30 years of personal development?
Wow. Gosh, I've got so many. The moment you said that, I thought of a client who, when she came to see me, was in a private clinic. She was desperate. She was unhappy. She had reached rock bottom. And she wanted to go to university to study music. And she came to see me and she said, I can't possibly go to university and study music with these problems that I've got. She identified three very specific and very serious problems for which she was receiving psychiatric help in a private clinic. And she said, I can't possibly go to university feeling like this. Can you help me with the Thrive Program? And I said, sure, of course I can. Thrive Program will be absolutely ideal for you. She was a wonderful client, very bright, very intelligent, prepared to put in the effort, very, very cooperative, easy to work with, wonderful, wonderful client. She achieved all the goals that she set for herself within 6 to 8 weeks of doing the program. And she was able to book herself out of the clinic and was signed off as cured, in inverted commas. And I happen to know from talking to somebody that knows her well that she is doing very, very well. And that was a few years ago. So that is one particular client that sticks in mind. And she is very representative of many of the people that have gone through the program, not just having received help from myself, but from my colleagues as well.
So did she ever end up going to study music?
Yes, she's done her degree now and doing very well.
Yes, good for her. All right, James, let's get to your 3 points here. So I know you have a wealth of knowledge and I know you have a wealth of experience. So for our listeners here, and we're going to talk about how you can keep in contact with James in just a couple minutes, but let us know what your three practical, actionable, and simple steps are to improve either the business or the business owner.
So the first thing I would say, and it is an actionable point, but it's really to do with, again, a mindset shift that you've got to put some action into establishing. And this is to establish an internal sense of power and control over experience. So the first thing that I would say is you have to develop an internal sense of power and control over your experience. And what I mean by that is to accept the fact that you have limited influence over external reality. What's going on in the world around you is largely beyond your influence. You've got some influence, but not very much. What's really, really important, I'm suggesting here, is that you don't focus on trying to influence the external environment, but what you focus on is your experience of that environment. And that is definitely within your control. So developing an internal sense of power and control is about taking responsibility for your thoughts, feelings, and actions, and realizing that it's the choices that you make and the decisions that you make that will shape your future, not external influences.
Right. Can we just talk about that for 2 seconds? Like, yeah. if I woke up this morning and I woke up late and I was in a bad mood and I had to go do something I didn't want to do, really, to be honest, how would you, that's a very practical thing right there, right? Like what I just gave you. How would you start? For someone like me who has never gone through your training, how would you start to try to reframe that?
The first thing I would say is that this event, which you don't want to go to, is not making you feel stressed, anxious, upset, or frustrated. Any negative thoughts or feelings that you're having are ones that you are creating in relation to that event. So you're choosing to feel frustrated. You're choosing to feel annoyed about that event, right? So it's not the event that's stressing you out. You're stressing yourself out by how you're choosing to experience that event. When you know that and you recognize that, you can say to yourself, hang on a minute, I'm making myself feel stressed here. And I'm choosing to calm down, relax, and deal with this in a more positive and proactive way.
Okay, amazing. Let's get to your second point.
Being relentless. In life, generally speaking, particularly in business, you need to be absolutely relentless. And that means not giving up easily. You've got to have commitment, you've got to be self-determined, and you've got to keep going until you've won.
That's amazing. And that's in all facets you're talking as well, right? Yes. Including mindset, right?
Yes.
And everybody lives the same number. Well, not everybody lives the same number of years, but we all live approximately, hopefully the same approximate time, right? About the 85 to 90 years. So I guess you might as well enjoy that.
Yes, this life of ours, as far as I'm concerned, is no dress rehearsal. This is it. And every day is precious, and every day is giving us the opportunity to live a full, satisfying and wonderful life. So even if you're not having a good day today, you can start again tomorrow. So that, I think that's what I'd say. Be relentless. Don't give up. It doesn't matter what challenges, obstacles or setbacks are coming your way. Don't give up.
Okay. Amazing. And your third point, James.
Well, that sort of feeds on from being relentless. Like I was saying, life will throw all sorts of obstacles in your way. We will all have to meet and deal with challenges. So in order to be able to deal with those challenges, in order to be able to deal with the setbacks and the obstacles of life, we need to believe. We need to believe that we've got the skills and the resources to be able to achieve what we set out to achieve. So I'm talking here about the importance of having empowering, helpful, healthy, beneficial beliefs. Beliefs that serve us well. Beliefs that help us create the life we want. Beliefs that help us to get what we say we want in life.
Yeah, amazing. Look, James, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. You've provided a ton of insight, and you're no longer that shy guy anymore, are you?
No, I've still got a little bit of work to do. I am an introvert. I'm proud to be so. But no, I'm not a shy, socially anxious person anymore. I love life. I love people. I love interacting with people. And I'm so delighted that I was allowed the opportunity to work on myself to learn to thrive. But here's the thing, James, you know, I didn't have a mentor or a coach to help me along the way. I taught myself, and it took me an awful long time. And I don't want people to spend as long as I did learning to thrive. You can learn to thrive quickly and easily with the help of a Thrive consultant. So that would be, if I was able to add one more tip, I'd say get yourself a mentor or a coach. It doesn't matter where you are in life. I'm not a great fan of self-help. I think we all need mentors and coaches to give us feedback, to help us along the way, to be a kind of springboard, as it were, someone that we can bounce ideas off. We can't do it on our own.
Yep.
So, yep. You know, we all need somebody to help us out.
No, that's very fair. Look, team, before we sign off here, I know that was sort of your final thought. I'm going to give you another opportunity. Final thoughts, or how do people stay in touch, or both?
Yeah, well, I'd love to hear from anybody that would like to know more about the Thrive Programme and how it can help them to learn to be the best that they can be. And they can contact me directly. You can visit my website, which is jameswoodworth.com, and you can send me a message, and I would be more than happy to get back with you and show you what needs to happen in order for you to thrive in life.
Yep. Okay, no, that's amazing. I'll put it in the show notes, team, because I know most of you are driving, and you should absolutely not stop or try to write down these things when we're driving. So I'll put it in the show notes for you. You just have to go on there and click it. So James, look, it's been a pleasure to have you on the James and James show.
It's been fantastic, James. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and I feel honored that you've invited me to be on your podcast. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. And it's always interesting to bring different people here. And that's now I can officially say we're internationally known because we have someone from the UK here. So there you go. That in itself is worth it. And it's been an excellent commentary. So team, listeners, don't forget every week we bring on interesting and successful entrepreneurs and business owners who share their wisdom, their story, and provide three actionable, simple, and practical tips to help. Oh my goodness, I need more coffee today. Three actionable, simple, and practical tips to help you thrive or improve your business or improve yourself. From James and James said, it's the James and James show today. From James and James show today, I appreciate each and every one of you. Team, same time, same place next week. It's been a pleasure, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you.
Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people, and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay, guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week, and have a great few days.